Blog Talk Radio.
Only Way Radio Blog. I wanted to share that song that was a past show that came on, and she is a songwriter and she makes her own music, and she also goes out and sings to many different places and many different countries. Her name is Heather Lane, and if you want to share more information on that or just listen to some of her songs, is on the Jesus the Only Way Radio Blog. You can go on Google, or you can go on to the Facebook page, and she got her website up there. So today we're going to be talking about group thoughts on why God allows bad things to happen. But before we get started, let's give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Thank you, glory, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's one beautiful day today here in California. And I'm pretty sure it's beautiful all over. And so, Deacon Chapman, would you like to open us up in prayer?
Oh, gracious, as we approach your throne in heaven, Lord, you have brought all faithful people into a single universal across heaven and earth, binding us together with a spiritual love which is stronger than any human love, that in serving one another we may neither count the cost nor seek rewards, but think only of the common good for mankind. We thank you, Lord, for strengthening us in everything that you have gifted us to do. We thank you, Father, that you give us the opportunity to have faith in you and your darling Son, the only begotten Son, the Christ. That believing in him, Father, we will be on the pathway back to home, back to you. Father, bless this station. Bless Sister Faith in her, all her endeavors, Father, in getting this word across, Father. And bless each and every listener, Father, that something may be said, Father, that would touch their hearts, that those that have hardened their hearts, have darkened their hearts, have had a veil put over their heart, Father, and they have wrapped their life in a stroll of death, I pray, Father, that their hearts will be open. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. We're going to start today on group thoughts. This is why does God bad things happen? I'm going to open us up in John, scripture to John 8:31-32. It says, if you abide in me and my word, you are my disciple indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Let us all ask ourselves, why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen to good people, and why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there pain and suffering? Why? We're going to ask these questions. One is, consider your role in the things that happen. Whatever happens in your life, consider your role in it. And then you have to consider, what control do we have over things that happen in our lives? So when we do go through things in our lives, what controls it? Is it something that we've done? Is it just something that just happened? There's another question I want to ask. What are the consequences of our decisions and actions? Are we living for God? Do we have a relationship with God? And those are to be considered. Another question here is the natural phenomenal things that happen, you know, like earthquakes and just things that just happen, you know, things that happen, airline crashes. And there's another question here that I want to ask again is God, what God plays in the role of these things. And so we are not isolated from the circumstances of our lives, because in the Bible says there's going to be pain and suffering in this life. So that's just something that we have to know that, and it goes all the way to, I've got to go to what it says about God when it comes to the pain and the suffering. God created us all because he loved us. God never intended for tragedy and prejudice and wars and hatred, lust and greed, jealousy and pride. God meant for us to be a paradise, a place where there would be no death. And so the good thing about all this, through the pain and suffering, that God has provided a rescue in the person of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's the good part of it all. Even though we have to go through pain and suffering, I just want to share a little testimony of my own. I've felt like I've lived a good life, and tragic things have happened to me. I mean, a bunch of tragic things have happened to me. And when I look at my life today, I am thankful, and I am grateful, and I am glad that God has put those sufferings in my life, because it made me closer to him. It made me open up my eyes, because a lot of the things that I did, God was not in it. Those were decisions that I made in life because I didn't know God. I didn't read his word. I just relied on what was taught to me as I was born, and I thought life was good, but really life was not good. Life was good when my eyes were open to God. Through the pain and suffering, it brought me closer to God, because it put me in a place where I had no choice, and I wanted to search for him, and I'm asking him for his help in straightening out my life and make it into his liking. And I am so thankful and grateful for the tragedies and the events that happened in my life, each and every one of them, because if I had not been through those events in my life, I would not be where I am today. And also, it is a testimony that I can share with someone else that is also going through some tragic moments in their lives, so that I can touch them and help them through the eyes of God. And that was just what I wanted to share there. Deacon Chapman, would you have anything you would like to share on this?
Well, I'll go back to Genesis in the second chapter. The Lord commanded the man and told him that he could eat of every tree of the garden, that he could eat freely. But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. When that day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. So when the serpent enticed the woman to eat of the tree, which looked good to her, and Adam also ate of it, he became the federal head of sin. Of death, because death entered to him immediately once he bit up and ate of the fruit. And we complain about things that happen to us. A lot of times, I think myself, because I had a discussion on this not too long ago, we do things against our better judgment. Do we think what is the right thing to do? And do we also think that we should do the right thing? Because when we look at 7 and 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please God. We are to live by faith day by day and not by feelings and emotions. And then the fact, ask, what does a believer really believe when he says he lived by faith? And what does it mean to live by faith? And a simple statement is that by faith is living by God's word, not by feelings and emotions. You place your faith in God and his holy word, trusting God to look after and take care of you as with obedience day by day, Romans 10:17. But then, okay, I've heard the expression, sister, the faith by birds of feathers flock together.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, there are so many people, I'll say in the loneliness of their life, they always want to fit in. They always want somebody to like them. They fall and get entrapped of the wiles of the devil by doing what other people do out of the context of what God put for us to do. And that's people with weak, unstable faith, and they waver in their confidence in God's word, because first they waver because they don't know it. And then as the waves of the sea is controlled by the wind, those of fainted believing in the heart are controlled by the spirit of Satan. And then the stability is determined by the circumstances and how they feel, their mood and emotion. And people who live by faith are not like this. They're steady and stable in all day. Now, you said about earthquakes. Jesus said there'd be earthquakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say rumors of wars. And we have that. We have disasters. And in fact, in the last 10 years, America has suffered a lot of disasters in certain sections of the country. And say, why does God allow that? But okay, why do we blame God on things that we do not set a defense up for? What I mean, if you know you have a flooded area that's going to flood every time it rains, why don't you build up some type of defense against that? Just as the word is our defense against the spiritual warfare that we talk about in Ephesians. But okay, why do we kill? Why do we destroy? Why do we treat the earth as a dumping ground? Why do we treat our houses, which when I'm speaking at houses, I'm speaking about the temple of God dwells within us once you accept Christ, and his spirit is in there, and you are his tabernacle. You're his living, walking stone. And so, like Hebrews 11 is one of the greatest chapters on faith, on God's holy word, and it spells out a great detail how to live by faith. But everyone who profess Christ, are they really living by faith, or are they just talking? And what I mean by that, to present to you that they are so holy, they are so spiritual. But the thing about it, do they live by example of what they believe? Why do we kill as much as we kill? Power and greed is two things that are structured for the control in this world, either it's in the local community, the county, the state, national, or the world. It's all about the love of money and the love of power and control. And people that are not living in fellowship with God through the day-to-day seeking to please him in all you do.
Mm-hmm.
The question would be, we always say, God, I trust you. But can God trust you in trusting God to guide and provide for you as you walk day by day, keeping your eyes focused on the internal city of God? And the internal city of God is the new Jerusalem that will come down to hell. We talk about that in the book of Revelation. And that's the place Christ is preparing for true believers, true followers, the people who have a true faith in him, that he is the resurrected Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, the coming King of Israel and the Savior of the Gentile church. And by obeying God's word throughout life, we can acknowledge that we will be at that feast, at that table, feasting with him. And the veil of darkness will have been removed from the eyes, and the darkened, hardened hearts will be fertilized and will be open, and it will be a glorious feast that we have with the Lord. But the thing about it in today's age is that people who say, I use the word ecumenism, meaning that I thank you, God, I pray to you, I love you, God. But as soon as they get successful, they get the 5-bedroom house, they get the Mercedes Benz, they get the BMW or Rolls Royce or whatever vehicle they have. Now they have their clothes tailor-made. They get their nails done every day. They go to the beauty shop. Men go to the barber shop. They dress themselves up, their outer appearance. But what about the heart? Is the heart with God? And the thing about it, when they get to that point of success, what they say, God, I don't need you anymore. And we need him on a daily. I need him, you need him, Sister Faith, and everyone that's listening to you, everyone in the world needs God. And if they had the peace of God in their hearts, we would not have all the destruction that we have. We would have love. Everybody would be in love. Countries would not be trying to band together to defeat other countries. America would be a place where peace and tranquility. Now, I'm not saying America's going to be the land of milk and honey, because that was set aside for Israel. But we can live in peace and harmony and love one another. Jesus said in John 34, love one another as I love you. Then in the 8th chapter of John, he said, if you know the truth sets you free. But the 36th verse of that same chapter says, if the Son sets you're free indeed. So the question is, in what we are going through, and we blaming the things that happened to us in detriment on God, but the thing about it, dude, are we really set free? Do we have the freedom and we have the liberty of the sacrifice of death of Christ on the cross? And when he rose from the grave, that gave us all the power of righteousness, because he's the righteousness of God, and also we have his righteousness if we believe. And we're going to suffer. We're going to have trials. We're going to have tribulation. But the thing about it, James said, can you have joy in the meantime, but you're going through these trials and tribulations? Because they're temporal. They're temporal. And the thing about it, joy, like David said, weeping endures for night, but joy comes in the morning. You know? So mm-hmm. The thing about, look forward to the morning. We always look mm-hmm. to the day and the evening of my life. But look to the morning, the next day, because you could have a problem today going to prayer tonight. And when you wake up mm-hmm. this morning, Spirit will give you the answer to what that problem is. And sometimes we have to be sit and be quiet and meditate on that problem. And then maybe in mm-hmm. 9 out of 10, God will give you the answer. Sometimes he say yes, no, maybe so. Or sometimes he don't say nothing, because a lot of times he's protecting us from ourselves. I noticed mm-hmm. something, and I know you want to have a comment, but I noticed something through the storm that they was having down in Florida, the hurricane. And on the news, mm-hmm. there were people out on the beach, waves of 4 or 5 feet high, or maybe higher than that. They got kids out, people letting their kids play in the water. And the beach guard was out there telling them, don't let the kids go out there because they could be swept up by a wave. In other words, we are a hard-headed generation. We don't follow rules and regulations. We don't follow the will of God because barely we don't know it. And that's and the other thing is that we don't want to obey the laws of the land. And then when someone is a mastermind robber and they rob banks and they rob corporations, they rob savings and loans. And once they got away with the first time, they're going to try it the second time. But a lot of times, the fourth or the fifth time, they're going to get caught, or somebody's going to get killed when they're arrested and spend probably life in prison. So, actually, since Adam ate of that fruit, he imprisoned us into a world of darkness. But Christ is the light that us out of that darkness. So, when we have trials and we have tribulations and stuff, sometimes we need to go back, sit quiet, look back on the time we and bring it up to now, and we'll see what the solution was. But the thing about it, if we knew how to work the solution back then, we wouldn't have a problem now. So choosing God over worldly pleasures, prosperity, power, choosing to suffer the reproach of this world for the world war of knowing God in the world to come, Sister Faith.
Amen. Amen. I want to point out something. When you do go through some trials and you do go through some tribulations and some bad times as well, that's probably the reason why we're having this show, is because what do you do when you are going through a crisis, when you are hurt, when you are going through stuff? How do you recover spiritually? And there are no easy answers, but you have to know that you're going to grow and glory. Because when life hurts, we pay attention. When things happen in our lives in a tragic way, we pay attention. It draws our attention. And that's what God wants to do, to draw your attention. Sometimes it's a message to us in life that God is here. He's trying to shake you up so you can get right. But in all this, you're going to grow from it. And in the Bible, in James 1, 1 through 4, it tells us that when we face trials, we can see it is a positive thing in our lives because ultimately we are going to grow from it. And it's hard to realize sometimes because you're stuck in that pain and you can't see and you can't feel, but you experience it. You're going to be experiencing, and you are a follower of God, and he's going to get your attention, and your experience is your faithfulness that you will know the truth. In the Bible, it says about the blind man that Jesus healed in John 9. The man didn't do anything to deserve to be blind. But when he asked why the man was blind, Jesus answered, "So you can see who I am." He healed the blind man so that the blind man and everyone around him will be amazed by the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. And that what we need to know. We need to see it. We need to know it. And it is the best gift that we could ever get, even through the pain and the suffering. We gotta be attracted to the greatness of God and the desire to be with him. And when it comes to the spiritual thing, the truth is that when things do happen, just like you were saying in the Florida thing, how it affects people differently. But the truth is that crisis affects everybody it touches, and everybody it touches them in a different way. But it says in David, in Psalms, tells his soul to praise the Lord. So when you look at David, David was in a dark place emotionally, just like we all get into a dark place emotionally. But you have to know that praising God was necessary. And I say that a word. Praising God was necessary, and that calling on him could affect the outcome of the situation. So even when we do go through some tragic things that happen in our life, things that we have no control over, it draws a lot of people's attention. And that's a good thing. These are things that I think that we should all do when we do have some tragic things going in our lives. When God is trying to get your attention, I think we need to acknowledge him and acknowledge the need that you need God. You need to read his word. You need to pray.
Well, you know, like in the book of Job, when God introduced Job to Satan, Job had no knowledge of that conversation between God and Satan. But when Satan said, you move that hedge from over him, but he said, you do anything to him, but don't kill him, right? Now, all Job suffered and thing, he had no knowledge that God had put him in that situation. But Job stayed faithful, even when his friends talked him down, told him that he had sinned and he needed to repent. Even his told him to curse God and die. And there are two women in the Bible that I have not found the date or the age of their death. It was Eve and Job's wife. Now, why is that? That's a mystery. But anyway, coming back to what I'm saying about Job, a lot of times God would allow situations, like you say, to get our attention. Just like he told the Cain that he would put a mark on their head, and anybody that see that mark would not kill Cain, because Cain had developed a reputation of killing his brother. See? And he asked a question when God asked him about his brother. He said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, yes, we are our brother's keeper, because Jesus said the poor will be with us always. And there are people will be poor in spirit, which means humble. And I want to read this book, this verses out of James, if I had time. James.
Okay,
1,
go ahead. Yeah, you do.
But let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfected and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men literally, and unbraided not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the tossed in with the wind. Now, he's speaking of a person that's dealing out what you might say a double soul. You know, he is doubting. And a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So, see, a lot of the things that happen do things against our better judgment. So, we are, in other words, we're two-faced and double-minded in that. And then when the consequences come, we feel that we are conflicted to the point where we shouldn't be suffering this, but will not say, like, okay, let's back up to Genesis. When God asked asked Adam about eating of the fruit, and what he said, what did he say? He double accusing the woman that you gave me. A double accuser. We always want to point the finger at somebody else and not stand and say, okay, I'm guilty of that. That was my choice, was my decision for making that. And then the 10th verse it says, but the rich in that he is made low, because of the flowers of the grass, he shall pass away, right? So, that speaks of that even though you may have wealth, all the prestige, intellect in the world, but you're going, a lot of times you're going to fail and fade in those pursuits that you have in getting more riches, getting more fame, getting more education.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the fallacies that we fall in and the pits that we fall in life, and not humbling mm-hmm. ourselves. Because like in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, said he became poor that we may be rich. And everybody, the preachers and evangelists and speakers speak on the wealth. But the true meaning of that scripture is that the riches would become eternal life. Because Paul said in Philippians 4:19, but my God will supply all mm-hmm. your needs according to his riches and by Christ Jesus. And to me, that mm-hmm. scripture is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Because there's, like, you take Donald Trump, all the wealth that he has. If he woke up one morning and some computer hacker stole all his wealth from him, I think he probably would commit suicide. God forgive me for saying that. Because he brags mm-hmm. on his wealth and his status. You know, he's like what they call a superstar in the media. But everything is about his accomplishments, his wealth. Now, he went to this black church here. But, you know, that's something I have a problem with. God's church isn't black, white, yellow, brown. God's household of faith is all that have come in the fullness and the belief of God, his Son, and the Holy Spirit. I call it the household of faith, faithful believers. You know, we'll mm-hmm. say we got multicultural congregations. No, we have congregations of believers, but 80% of the people mm-hmm. there are not committed. 10% are just there trying to be committed, mm-hmm. and the other 10% don't give a darn one way or another. They just there to hear a message and to go back into this dark world that they preside in from a day to day and live like mm-hmm. a junkyard from Monday to Saturday. See? Because,
mm-hmm.
and James also said, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withers the grass and the flowers, they are falling, and the grace of the fashion of it persisteth, so also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Dry up, come to nothing. So we don't want to come to nothing. We want to come into the full knowledge of Christ that we may follow mm-hmm. him to heaven on that door that he opened up on the cross, when he gave up his life. The veil mm-hmm. was ripped in the temple from top to bottom, opening the door, because before only the high priest could go into through the veil. Everybody else had to push. So God has removed that veil that we may have access to him in eternal life. So things confront me. I say, Lord, it may temporary give me a little setback, but then I come to myself, Lord, this I give this to you. Let you handle it. I put my children, my grandchildren, brothers,
amen.
And friends, put my enemies in his hands.
Amen.
I can't control nothing. I cannot control nothing. And there's two things. He said, every word is pure. Every word of God is pure. And he's a shield unto him that put their trust in him. And I put my total trust in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
Amen. I so agree with you on that. It says in grace, in 2 Corinthians 12-9, the Bible tells us that his grace is sufficient for you, for his power is made perfect in our weaknesses. So, a lot of times it's hard for us to admit our weaknesses. So that's why it is so important that we remain humble and allow God to take control of our situation and acknowledge to God that we need him, because he is going to bear your burden, because no, we can't do it. We have no control. And Jesus longs to come into our life to do all those things for us and through us. And so I so agree with you, you know, to put it in God's hands, the situation in God's hands, to trust him in God's hands, and look at it as a message from God to come together and to stay humble, come together and do the things of God. And so with that, we're going to have to end because we're already going over. And Deacon Chapman, would you like to close us in prayer, please?
And just make one more statement before I do that.
Okay.
We are separate from all sinful behavior in this world and to be totally committed to Him. Therefore, once you accept Christ, pursue a life of holiness. God, we come before Thee, thanking You, Father, for this day. Thank You for the word that was spoken, Father.
Thank You
for enabling us, Father, on Your word, Father, to speak not only from the Scripture, Father, but speak from the heart. There's a pureness in Your word. The realization, Father, that comes in our bodies, in our mind, and our hearts, from studying Your word, Father, because You purge us, Father, who cleans us and washes us white as snow. Thank You, Father, for Sister Faith presenting this question today. What do we do when the bad things happen to us? And there will be trials, persecution. There will be things that will give us the aptitude to want to walk away from the word, Father, walk away from our friends, our family. But we have to stand fast and, Father, stand strong in Your word and Your faith, Father. Everyone that tuned in today, that was on the phone or the computer or however they listen at this word today, Father, and I pray something, Father, was said that will enlighten them and enlighten them. I have to know that whatever happens, You are always there to give us the strength, to give us the knowledge according to Your will. And we thank You, Father, for this day that You have made, and we are rejoicing in it. And I pray to You, Father, in thanksgiving, in Christ's name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Chapman. With that, hope everyone have a wonderful evening. Tune in next week. We are going to have Sister Marina on. She's going to share her testimony, and we are honored to have her on. Tune in. It's going to be September 14th, same time, same day on Wednesday. God bless all of you, and have a wonderful evening.
You too, ma'am.
Good night, Deacon Chapman, and thank you, Carla, for coming in and tuning in with us. Thank you so much.